Welcome to Ash Wednesday. Some people really like Ash Wednesday and some people really don't. Some of you here, I've known people, and probably some of you are here, who would never miss this day in church, never. And some who don't come very often come on Ash Wednesday. Some people really like Lent, believe it or not, they do. And some really don't. You know that. This is the day that we are all invited, all of us, whether we like it or not, right? We're all invited to a holy Lent, which can mean, in the best possible way, a time set apart for spring cleaning, to create a clearing where the Holy Spirit can move us, move our hearts. Our tradition commends penitence and fasting. And following the sermon, I will invite you to a holy Lent using those words, as well as words such as self-examination and repentance. In creating a clearing, we have a space and time to turn from what is not of God in our lives to God. Right? You need space to turn around. You can't turn around when you're all boxed in. And fasting is certainly a good suggestion in our time, so full of so many distractions. We might first think of fasting from food. That's usually what has been meant by that word. But when we hear it, we might think of fasting from media, maybe social media or media in general, the news, or from an activity of ours that takes so much of our time but really does not give us much in return. Fasting from what does not really nourish us, we have time and energy for spiritual practices and other things that really do. Some of those spiritual practices are ones you know well: Bible reading, prayer, some time in silence, some time singing hymns, maybe. That would be fun. You can do that too. You know what is the spiritual practice that works for you. Maybe you're remembering one that worked for you years ago. Maybe it'll work now. Or maybe you'll try something new this year. This is what Jesus was getting at in the very familiar gospel we read today. Who was Jesus? He was authentic. He was real, grounded in God. And he was urging us, his followers, to be about what is real and lasting. Doing things for the sake of being seen is not the way. Storing up things on earth beyond what we need to live is a waste of time and energy. Amid all these warnings and directives we've just heard, there's great grace and hope. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. There is a dwelling place prepared for us in heaven, where nothing can harm us, where we will know the fullness of life in God. And heaven begins now. It can begin right now, eternal life now. And when we are about the things of God today and know ourselves to be God's beloved, no one and nothing can take that away from you. No one can take that away. No thief can break in and steal from us what is real. We begin this great time of clearing out and connecting more deeply with God and ourselves on this Ash Wednesday. It helps to observe a Holy Lent by first getting grounded in a few basic facts. We receive ashes on our heads as symbol of our mortality and penitence, as a way to accept outwardly the reality of what is sometimes difficult to work through inwardly, that we are mortal, that we make mistakes, that we sometimes intentionally do things that are wrong or fail to act when action is needed. We like symbol, right? We like ritual. Both help. They help us to connect with who we are and who God is. Today is about getting our ashes in gear. That's the title of this sermon, Get Your Ashes in Gear. And enter into Lent. Grab it. Our ashes help us to enter Lent. Sometimes, or to some, it can feel like the church is forcing us into Lent. And there is always a tension between what we need as individuals and what the community says we need. I invite all of us to find that sweet spot, that place where we can live in the tension and open ourselves to the gift God desires for each of us during this time of Lent. This is your chance to grab onto Lent, to claim it as your own. When we get our ashes in gear, we are gearing up our spiritual practices to claim the gift that God wants to give us. And this gift is almost always involving hope and healing and transformation. Everything church is about, or really ought to be about, is designed to help us grow in our knowledge and love of God, and grow in our knowledge and love of ourselves. When we know God and we know ourselves, and we know this love of God, that's when we are most helpful to others, when we know God loves us. What we do in Lent is really not introspection for its own sake. It does help us, but it is also for the sake of others, so that we are strengthened in our lives and our faith to reach out. Some may ask, how can we love God and ourselves on a day when this topic of sin is talked about so much, and this idea of acknowledging our wretchedness, as the opening prayer stated? You know, when these words were first used a lot in the church, it was pretty normal to hear that word, but I bet most of our therapists wouldn't like us to use the word wretched about ourselves. And there is something to that, so we need to name it. We're up against a lot of unhealthy history when it comes to how sin has been talked about in Christianity. The answer is not to stop talking about sin, but to start talking about it in a way that is transformational rather than shaming, as it has often been. As Richard Rohr states, the word sin, as we now use it, is very problematic. It shames, he says. It does not enlighten or invite, which means it does not really help or change people, except perhaps at the level of conformity. Richard Rohr is a great spiritual leader and thinker who's out in New Mexico. Many of you know him. If you haven't encountered him, you can find a lot of his writings online. He goes on to say, what most people call sin is more a symptom of sin, not the delusional state itself. This is really key. He goes on, it is this common state of believed or chosen autonomy from God and others that must be addressed. This is what he's naming as the delusional state, that somehow we are autonomous, that we can just be individuals and be fine, and we're not connected to God or anybody else. And even those of us who believe in God, right? Sometimes I know I've lived like I'm not thinking about God. It can happen. And he goes on, our primary and self-destructive illusion is that we are separate and alone. And he says, this is the true basis, motivation, and loneliness that leads to all sin. So we're mature Christians here, striving to be. So we can get beyond the surface of all this and go deeper. And that's what Richard Rohr is encouraging us to do. And in the gospel, Jesus is saying things that encourage going deeper, such as don't get caught up in the illusions of this world. Status, power, money, all that keeps us from avoiding mortality and can keep us from turning to God. When we get our ashes in gear, we know we are not alone. We are beloved of God, created in God's image, mortal, and yet in God we will live forever. God remembers that we are but dust and loves us. God came to us in Jesus the Christ to unite us with God's own being forever. This is true not because of what we do, even on this day, but because God is love and will never let us go. This day is not for God, but for us to remember. Ash Wednesday is a time to open ourselves to what is real, and that does take some courage. Good for you for being here. Very courageous. And if you didn't think it took courage, hold on. It is in our vulnerability, when we are real about who we are, that I think we're most aware of God with us. Sometimes it means confessing our sins and opening ourselves to God's forgiveness, which of course is already there, right there. God is with us, not standing around counting our sins, but loving us into eternity. So gear it up with some ashes. Let's do Lent together with God, not bound by a narrow understanding of sin, but being transformed by entering into the clearing that is Lent, where we find our true selves and God reaching out to us. Amen.